Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and I'm going to tell you something point blank. I am pissed off, and I am going to come unleashed, so stay tuned. In the first hour, I'm going to rant like you've never heard me rant before, and in a second hour, at 6:30 Central Time, I have my interview with Mr. Fred Anderson of the Remnant Voice, a renowned black conservative and a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So stay tuned to this episode of The Visible Conservative, Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. And once again, welcome back to this episode of The Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Thomas Smith. And I'm going to open with prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, You know how angry I am, Lord. But I'm going to do something about it. We have been too silent for too long as believers, and we, you know, not only as Christians, but as conservatives, we have been the pity-pat little, oh, they mean well type of thing, so on, so forth. Liberals have never meant well for this country, Lord, and I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for the grace and the eloquence to speak the words that I need to speak, because, Lord, I am angry. It's one thing to know someone's wrong and know that there's forgiveness of sins, but it's a whole nother thing to sit back and watch them utterly destroy our country and know that we have a voice. So, Father, I pray for a phenomenal interview with Pastor Anderson. But at this point, Lord God, I thank you for a platform to allow me to get what I'm about to get off my chest. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. My favorite scripture, Romans 5:8. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It is the love of God that leads one to repentance. Love covers a multitude of sins. And having said all that, I believe those words with all my heart. But the gloves are coming off. And if by now you all don't know what I'm referring to, I'm referring to this fourth allegation against Herman Cain. Okay, well, let me just lay waste to those whole allegations right here and now. That woman is a lie. She lied, point blank, case in point. She said this happened in 1996-97 when he worked for the association. Well, if that was the case, how come those allegations did not come out when Herman Cain ran for Senate from the state of Georgia in 2004, 7 years later? How come that stuff didn't come out then? I got an interesting little link that I want to show you guys. I have to find it again. But it is the link. Let me see. Actually, I can just put it in the chat room. Check this out, folks. That link is of the woman who accused Herman Cain of sexually assaulting her. Look at that link, guys. She got sued because she failed to pay back a $7,000 loan. And David Axelrod, was the prosecuting attorney. David Axelrod was the prosecuting attorney. This is the same woman, Gloria Allred, brought down Meg Whitman's campaign for governor in California with accusations of false accusations against her using an illegal immigrant. Meg Whitman did not know that the woman was an illegal immigrant. But Gloria Allred said she did. So all it took was a he say, she say. He said, she said. Well, I'm going to tell you something, and some of you might get disgusted by what I'm about to say, but I'm dead serious on this. If you are a liberal female politician, and if you are a liberal politician, male or female, you are a liberal news media individual, male or female, I don't respect you. I despise everything you represent. I despise everything you represent. You are a liar. You all just want to destroy this country, and you think you're so much better than I am. Well, let me tell you something, you liberal pieces of crap. You've probably never had to walk a day in your life. You probably never had to deal with true adversity. How many of you elite snobs know what it's like to sleep on the street, sleep in cardboard boxes? Eat food out of trash cans because you are hungry. I did that. But I believe that I can be successful. But you and you're supposed to be highly educated individuals telling me that I can't get ahead because I'm black, but I need the government to help me because that's the only way I ever amount to anything. You can kiss my ass. That's what you can do. Because when I was being beaten by my adopted mother when I was younger, black liberal, you sided with my mother, my adopted mom. The man was not even my caseworker. It took me running away from that house for me to get out of that situation. And if I would not have left, that woman would have probably beat me to death. I struggle every day in my life to make it. But I have faith. I'm facing some disappointments now, but I deal with them. I know what it's like to be disappointed by those that you love. I reached out to my mom for help with something. Well, actually, you know what? I'll just share it. I'm supposed to graduate in December. I'll be done with my requirements, and I would have been able to walk in December. I won't be able to walk because I don't have the fee to pay for the graduation fee. I asked my mom to help me. This is my real mother, not my adopted mom, but my real mother. And she said she would, and came down to it. She ended up not doing it. She told me one thing, but it wasn't the truth. And I know that I still care and that I don't hate my mom because I'm disappointed. If I didn't care, I wouldn't even care. If I wouldn't be disappointed, be like, oh, well, whatever, that's what I expected. Got caught up in the politics of a job that I just had. Had got me a little part-time job because I like to work. You know, while I'm building my network, I wanted to work. You know, it gave me a little pride in myself. Great people. I worked at a little deli shop, Mr. Good Sense. The manager that hired me, he got transferred to another store. I was one of the newest employees. I got to work 1 week. Then I didn't get scheduled for the second week, nor the third week. When I called to check on my schedule, found out he had been reassigned. And so my paperwork that I had submitted, I had to submit again for the third time. And when I asked them that Wednesday, I asked them, okay, are you guys, do I still have a job or what? What's going on? Guy couldn't look me in the face. He said, just come in Friday when you get your check. We'll talk to you then. Okay, Friday. That Friday I went to go get my little small check. 13 hours. That's all it was, just 13 hours. And they tell me, Corey, who was the manager that got assigned to another store, he had hired too many people, wasn't enough hours on the schedule. So they had to let me go. That's what they told me. But what they didn't know, and I didn't bother to tell them, was that when I went in to wait for my check, a lot of the employees that I had worked there with for the 1 week, because guys, believe it or not, people actually do like me. I am a likable person. They was like, hey, Mark, do you still work here? I was like, I don't know what's going on. I wasn't scheduled. And they said, man, you need to talk to them about your job because they're hiring new people. I was like, I'll see what's going on. So when I went and got my check, they told me that they had too many people hired by Corey and not enough hours, while at the same time they were still hiring new people. You know what the crux of it was? They were replacing the people Corey hired with their own. Never mind the fact that the general manager and the one manager had never worked with me. They had no idea what kind of worker I am. And I bust my tail. For years when I had jobs, I neglected my own health and well-being to try to prove myself. I got caught up in politics because they figured the last people that Corey hired, they wasn't good workers. So they fired me. They fired me. You know how much it sucks to always try to work hard, try to achieve something, be so close, yet to have it snatched away from you. I don't know how many times in my life I've had things snatched away from me. But I keep coming back for more. I've spent so many times running from things, running from people and confrontations and all that stuff. Well, I'm not running anymore. Because I will not let no liberal define what I can and what I can't do. I will not be defined by no stereotype. I will tell my, with the Black Conservative Radio Network, I will tell my story and I will share my dream and I will find enough people who believe in me to help me start this. Guys, when I say what I'm about to say, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you I did not grow up in social circles. In other words, I did not grow up knowing how to make friends. I still don't know how to make friends. I have a dream, and I hope people would believe in me to help me. And my dreams, the BCR, you know that old saying that you know that old saying that everybody gets into business to make a profit? First of all, they don't know me. I am not starting the Black Conservative Radio Network to make a profit. Even though that's what's going to happen, because it's going to be the most successful internet radio network in this world. Why? Because my faith in Jesus Christ is helping me build it. And I don't care who doubts me. People have doubted me my entire life, and guess what? It's fuel for the fire. But the one thing other than a faith in Jesus Christ that's in this? That's going to make this successful? Because it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about my host that's a part of this, the employees that's employed with the network and at the computer center. And it's going to be about my subscribers and the free listeners. The employees will have ownership in the network. Why? Because I'm the owner. It's a privately held company and I said so. I have never been selfish in my life. Ever. I went without food to give someone my last money when I was hungry. That's just the kind of person I am. And how dare some little sniveling piece of crap, piece of trash, liberal news media, some liberal politician, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Congressional Black Caucus, Maxine Waters, Charles Rangel, y'all pieces of garbage don't speak for me. So don't pretend to. Because I'm not no little rat that's following you around like you're the Pied Piper. If anyone else in my community, they want to follow you and be led to slaughter, that's their choice. But I'm going to speak the truth. And Gloria Allred, one thing you, because you're such a liberal, arrogant hack, you disregard one little bit of information. That is this, or should I say, one little natural law. You reap what you sow. And later on in life, you think your money and your fame makes you happy, you're going to find yourself a cold, dying and miserable woman all alone. And you better hope you get a little common sense and you reach out and embrace the love of God. You liberals think you're so all that you don't need God, that you don't need a relationship. How's that working for you? You think your money and all that stuff gives you power? The love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money isn't evil. It's the love of it. The lust for power. And you liberals, you liberal politicians, you all gonna find out in 2012 just exactly how powerful the voice of the American people really is. Because you have poked and you have prodded. And now the sleeping bear has came out of hibernation and we are about to roar. What it took you guys 60 years of planning to build up, we are going to dismantle in one election cycle. And if you even think about threatening us with violence, we will be prepared to defend ourselves. I told you guys. I was going to come unleashed tonight. And you have to understand one thing. I don't just talk about something with conjecture and having never experienced it. I've lived in the good, the bad, the rich, the poor. I've experienced racism from all degrees. I have a friend that's texting me on Facebook. And she's making some really good points. But I'm going to tell you this. As far as I'm concerned, the gloves are off. And Mom Mary, you're absolutely right. To have a friend, you got to be a friend. The only problem that I had was that I was the only one that was the friend. People, growing up, people only talked to me to pacify me. They made fun of me behind my back like I was a dog. And that was one of the reasons why I spent several years of my life. I hated people. If you was a Homo sapien, I hated you. That was just by design. But let me tell you something. Hating an entire race, the human race, was really nerve-wracking, and actually it was damaging to my health as well. I had 2 minor heart attacks before the age of 22 because I walked in so much unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger. But folks, don't confuse my anger now with bitterness and unforgiveness. This is righteous anger, righteous indignation. Because I have been told for too long in my life that I would never amount to nothing, that I can't get ahead without help from the man, and all this stuff. And you guys just have no clue. Now that I know where it's always originated from the left, always. I didn't know about conservatism growing up, even though my mannerisms was conservative in nature. My mannerisms were conservative in the nation, in nature. But I guess there is that saying that you're born a Democrat. Well, somebody forgot to tell me that. Miss Sherry, actually the Bible talks about righteous indignation, and I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, somewhere around there. It says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. When this show is over, I won't still be angry. I will not go to bed angry. That's the difference. But I'm telling you, there's things that I screwed up at a young age that I'm still paying the consequences for. I never learned about proper money management when I was getting it. I bought food, and I got me a bus ticket to go ride the bus because I don't have a car. I don't buy clothes. I've not had a new wardrobe in, it's going on 20 years, since I was about 17 or 18. Why? Because what money, for the most part, I got, I used it for food. Because I was one of those people, I would eat one meal a day. That was all I could afford. I know in my heart what I'm capable of doing. And I will not allow any liberal, black or white, to stop me from being successful. It will not happen. I spent my entire life running from my problems because I was too hurt, too angry, didn't want to be around people. Almost fell for the trap. I can make a difference with my voice. I can be a unifier in a Tea Party movement and in a conservative movement. You know why? I don't judge a group of people based on their race. I judge people based on their actions. And based on the actions of liberal, of the left, you're not worth the scum under the bottom of my feet. You are not worth it. Guys, you keep an eye out, because probably sometimes in the next few months, I'll probably coming to a Tea Party group near you. My calling is to motivationally speak. I have a powerful story of forgiveness, because I had to forgive people. Folks, listen. Some of you may have heard this story, but for those of you who haven't, what I'm about to share with you will give you a powerful perspective into who I am. And if this doesn't give you an idea of my character, of the kind of person that I am, then nothing will. My foster cousin, when he was 12 years old, in 1981, was lynched because of the color of his skin. Two, in 1983, my adopted grand aunt and uncle, this was an elderly couple. This is an elderly couple. In a small town in Kansas. This is Kansas, folks. This is not in the South. This is Kansas. Both of those incidents, by the way, the lynching, the hanging was in Kansas, and this second event I'm about to tell you about is also in Kansas. They were shot in the head, both of them. Their genitalia were cut off and hung from a clothesline. Sorry for being brutally honest with the description there, but that's what happened. As angry as a kid I was, guess what I did, folks? I made a decision that I would be willing to bet very few people, regardless of race, could ever bring themselves to make in the face of events like that. The decision that I made, I would not judge an entire race, an entire group, if you will, of people based on the actions of a few. Therefore, I did not judge the entire white race based on the action of a few people. Folks, keep in mind, I did not have anyone influencing me growing up. I had black kids who would make fun of me and then try to tell me I shouldn't be talking to whitey. And I'm thinking to myself, excuse me, how dare you try to tell me something when you be making fun of me behind my back? Therefore, I rejected their surmise and their call to racism. I have always rejected racism. When I hate it, and this sounds really bad, but it's just true and I'm keeping it real. When I hated everyone equally. But when I came out of it, it took me a while. But I was first. I felt safe around white people. And then when I found my comfort and my identity in Christ, that's when I knew that nothing, no one could do or say to me could touch me. Do I still have my moments? Absolutely. Do I still get angry over stupid stuff? Yes. I'm very much guilty of that. But what happened to Herman Cain at the hands of that lion leather face Nancy Pelosi clone look-alike wannabe has my blood boiling. Yes, I am insulting liberals. I respect women. Gloria Allred is not a woman. She may have female body parts, but that doesn't make her a woman. She doesn't carry herself like a woman of class. She carries herself like a woman of trash. The only difference is because she has a whole lot of money. She thinks she can buy anyone anything and do whatever to manipulate any situation. If you guys only knew. And folks, just because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, stop thinking that as a Christian we're always supposed to be nice. Because we're not. We're not supposed to stand idly by while our country gets destroyed around us. Guys, ladies, gents, here's the truth of the matter. I am called to unify. But at the same time, I'm not called to no longer sit idly by while individuals lay waste to our country. Well, what can you do for it? Do about it? There's a lot I can do about it. One, my show. Two, when I start traveling on the Tea Party speaking circuit. There are a lot of things that are in store. Liberals are standing on the train tracks, and they don't see. They think that light at the end of the tunnel is this country descending into socialism. Well, that light is black conservatives like me that's not known. And when I do become known, there's two problems they have when it comes to me. One, they're dealing with someone that can spew the same type of venom and rhetoric that they can spew, that they spew, but I can, do it at 1,000 times what they do. And two, I have just a message that can fire up black conservatives, white conservatives, Tea Party people to the point that we will march on Washington. Folks, I've held a lot of things back of what I'm capable of doing with this show and what I'm capable of doing. But I will tell you what, I'm gonna make a difference because I love my country and I will fight for my country. Hey guys, I am going to post a link in a chat room, and I would like for you guys, after you check this out, I want you guys to sign a petition or whatever it is that needs to be done, because the unions are going after Scott Walker to try to get him recalled. So we have to stand in prayer for him and, you know, these unions are trying to take people down. My guest will be here at, he's going to call in at 6:30, so that's going to be a awesome interview. And so, it's always good to get a major rant off your chest. So, having said that, I'm going to take a quick break, play some music. Oh yeah, and by the way, sorry about that, I was talking with my mic on mute, so you heard a little dead air for a moment, so I apologize. It started when you looked right through me. I never be the same again. Yeah.
yourself around me. I thank God that I'm alive. And I can't imagine what I would be if I didn't have you by my side. And I can't imagine what I would do if I couldn't love you.
Welcome back to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. And now I'm just sitting back waiting for my guest to call in, Mr. Fred Anderson. And he should be calling in at any moment now. But that hour of ranting, that just... It felt good to be able to get it off my chest, and I'm just looking forward to just talking about some bigger and better and greater things, you know. And, you know. I just know that there are a lot of things that need to be done, and we can't sit back and hope that things will get better. That has been the norm. That has been the conservative way for decades. But it's time for us to stop waiting and start forcing the change that we know is needed. Now, having said that, I would like to welcome a gentleman who a while ago, like just about 2 or 3 months ago, I had read a blog that he had written. And you know what? I forgot what it was about, but I was just so excited about it, because just to see black conservatives that decided we will no longer have our voices hidden, we will no longer be marginalized, I was excited about, you know, seeing this man's website. It's called The Remnant Voice. And also, though, you know, something that on the inside of me, which kind of made me sad a little bit, I asked myself this question, and that was, where was these kind of black men role models that I could have looked up to when I was growing up? Because the only role models who were in my life were those who were down with the drinking and smoking and all that stuff, but yet they expected me as a little kid to respect them, and I couldn't. Anyway, enough about me. I want you guys to welcome Pastor Fred L. Anderson of the Remnant Voice. I posted the link in the chat room earlier, but he's going to talk a little bit about his website, maybe a little bit about his ministry if we have time. This is a phenomenal man of God, and I want you guys to join me in welcoming Pastor Fred Anderson to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed. Welcome, Pastor.
Brother Thomas, how are you?
I feel better after getting that, what I needed to get off my chest. I feel much, much better. Thank you.
Well, it's good to kind of vent a little bit and get yourself focused and, you know, let some of that out. You can't keep that bottled up.
Right.
Definitely not good for the spirit, and it's definitely not good for the heart. Amen, amen. But it's good to, I want to thank you for having me on this evening.
You're very welcome. Go ahead.
I definitely appreciate the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you fine. Well, my first question is this, just to get things started. Were you always a conservative, or did you transition from being a liberal to conservative?
I was always a conservative. I've never voted for a Democrat or a liberal. I've always had a passion for politics, even at a young age.
Oh, wow.
And as a matter of fact, when I first went to college, I thought I wanted to major in political science, but a wise man pulled me to the side and told me, "Frederick, you are not a liar."
I like that. I like that. That is cool. But you know what was really nice, though? You're actually, because I was guilty of this as well, you're actually, I think, the second black conservative that I met that actually has never been a Democrat or been a liberal. And that just totally blesses me, because what that tells me is that not everybody in our community was successfully brainwashed.
Exactly, exactly. You know, my relatives, my family members, my mother and father were Democrats and are still Democrats. And but as I was growing up, we really never talked about politics. I don't really remember a discussion within the family about politics until I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that particular time Reagan was in his last term. And so I one thing that I did notice in a discussion was, as they were talking about Ronald Reagan, so on and so forth, before Ronald Reagan became president, my mother struggled to make ends meet. Mother and father struggled to make ends meet. But one thing that I noticed, I was the Lord allowed me to see this even at 17, 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When Ronald Reagan became president, their income went up. Their income increased. They didn't struggle like they used to. And so that told me, well, obviously, there had to be something good about Reagan.
Right.
when he became president, they stopped struggling financially. You know, so I picked that up at an early age. Now, my family members know that I'm conservative. You know, they know how I feel about the Conservative Party, Tea Party, so on and so forth.
Right.
They won't debate it. They can't talk about it. And, you know, so they don't know how to approach, you know, the issue.
Right.
But I'm one that I tend to surround myself with people of like mind.
Amen.
When you do that, it keeps you from becoming frustrated, irritated, mad, and angry.
Right.
And so you seek individuals who think like you or
right.
who you feel can be an example that can teach you that you might be better. I never wanted to be around people that did the same thing over and over and over again. Till this day, I hate anything that's traditional.
Right.
Anything that's going to keep me locked in a box, that's not me. I can't do that because you end up hindering yourself and hindering others when you continue to do the same old, same old, same old. And that's what I like about Herman Cain.
Amen.
He is untraditional. He is out of the box. He doesn't follow along the path that's been laid out by individuals that have come before him. He's paving his own path. It's unorthodox. And in that respect, he's going to make some mistakes because he's trying to pave a new path in politics that's unconventional.
Right.
And Brad, he's getting a lot of flack, which is one of the reasons why he is going through the circumstances that he's going through even today.
Right. And if you will speak, well, first I want to ask you a question because there's a few things that I'd like for you to share, and I know that we had talked about you doing a 30-minute interview, but what I went ahead and did with my show, I extended it a little bit. So I want to know if it would be possible for you to go maybe a little bit past 30 minutes because I want people to hear about your website, a little bit about your ministry and stuff like that, if you have time.
Sounds good.
Okay. So my question that I have for you is, with these allegations, what was your reaction when you saw those allegations?
Well, when I first saw the first one on last Sunday evening, first thing came to mind was Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill.
Right.
That's the first thing came to mind. And I said to myself, oh, here we go again. But at the same time, I knew that he, you know, being first, or his poll numbers being high, he being first in the poll numbers, tied with Romney and other poll numbers. Well, like he said, he's a target now. It's politics as usual. And these are the things that come with politics. Politics is a dirty game. It is not for the faint of heart. And as a matter of fact, one thing that I know is that those that are in politics have no heart, and they sold their souls to the devil. So they're doing anything they want, anything
right.
they can to destroy you.
Right.
But what also came to mind was, you know, who would leak this information out when he, as you know, ran for Senate and none of this
right.
information ever came out. None of this information never came out.
Exactly.
So somebody's holding this information. But at the time of this, somebody is afraid. Somebody is intimidated. Somebody did not expect Herman Cain to be where he is now in the poll. And so
right.
to eliminate him, you're going to have to use the ultimate accusation against a man. And the ultimate accusation you can bring against a man is anything that has to do with sex.
Right.
You do that, especially when you're dealing with conservatives. When you do that, you are making a point or making an example not only out of Herman Cain, but you're making an example out of any black, any woman who is a conservative and dares to leave the liberal plantation.
Amen. Let me point something out to you. And did you get the chance to watch the press conference today?
I saw the press conference.
I'm going to tell you something. Because see, what liberals think that they're so smooth in their talk that they think that they could say anything and it go right over the head of us as conservatives, especially us black conservatives, because they think we just a bunch of dumb Negroes anyway. So, having said all that, could you hold on? I got to take a break real quick and run to the door, but I will be right back. Be right back.
It happened on the day I saw you standing in the pouring rain. It started when you looked right through me. I'll never be the same.
Okay, I am back. Sorry about that. I'm the only one in the house, so I had to run and open the door. But, okay, Pastor. And back to what I was saying before I got interrupted with the doorbell, is that when Gloria Allred opened with this comment that Herman Cain gave her client his own version of the stimulus package, that right there, that comment destroyed all credibility of the accusations. It turned it into an immediate sham. It was bad enough that you had the idiot running around in front of the podium when they was 19 minutes late to their own press conference. Could you speak to that, Pastor? Those two things right there.
Well, first, I think that Gloria Allred probably had to get her story straight with Mr. Bennett, the other attorney.
Uh-huh.
I'm hearing now that this fourth person is actually the third person. It's my understanding, and it's been corroborated with CNN and Fox News, is that this individual called the gentleman by the name, last name of Bennett, who is the attorney for one of the accusers, on the phone and left a message but never called back. And it's being talked about that it's not actually really a fourth person, it's actually really a third person. As the days go by, we'll find out for sure.
Wow.
I do know that all of this is, you notice also that this fourth accusation came out a week later.
Right, so, exactly.
So now we have to go another 5 to 7 days dealing with another accusation. But there's a reason why the other side is doing this. There is a saying that if you tell the same story over and over and over again, people would tend to believe it.
Right.
And that's what the other side is trying to do. They got to keep this story in the news. And the best way to do it is give it on a Sunday evening or a Monday so they draw out the whole week. People are hearing it day in, day out, day in, day out. People are going to tend to believe this story. That's just the nature of people. And so this is what you have going on. And here's the other thing, is that of all the attorneys to get, why this one?
Exactly. That's a good point.
Why get an attorney who has a reputation to be the type of person that she is? She's a high-powered attorney. She loves the media. She loves attention. She's
right.
known for that. But at the same time, with all of the accusations that are coming out and all these lawyers that these individuals have, who's paying for these attorneys?
That's a who's good point.
For, that has money. Who's paying for these attorneys? These are high-powered attorneys. These attorneys, their attorney fees are not cheap. Somebody's paying for these attorneys. I don't know who it is, but I also noticed this as well, is that it appears to me, except for this so-called fourth accuser, well, actually all of them, well, except for this fourth accuser, the last three tend to be employees of the government, one of which is a lobbyist. So I'm kind of, it's a whole lot of doubt. It's a lot of funny business going on. I'm hoping and praying that the truth will come out, that these individuals, whoever they may be, that they will be revealed, their intentions will be revealed, the truth will come out, and we can move on and focus on the issues. I really would rather, focus on the issue, and that's another thing that the other side is doing. They don't want the people to focus on the issue.
Right.
Americans have a tendency to get caught up in scandal. We love scandal, and we're easily distracted by scandal that we can't focus on the issue.
Right. Well, it's really interesting. Because one dynamic that I've seen, and just today, just checking out the different polls and even on Facebook, the Herman Cain supporters in America in general, they are pissed. And so many people, Pastor, have came out and they're like, wait a minute, this woman is a shyster. I've had so many people, I've seen them post on the Herman Cain Facebook page, you know what? I'm donating to his campaign again. What has happened in unintended consequences, and the liberals don't understand this, is that they are kicking Herman Cain's campaign fundraising aspect into overdrive because the American people have woken up and they're calling bull on this one.
Exactly. The people are smart enough and savvy enough, at least those that are, conservative, they're smart enough and savvy enough to know that this is just simply the way politics is ran. And they know that when you're running for office, especially the highest office of the land, you're going to get these type of accusations, whether it's true or false. Politics is a dirty game, and when you're out in front and you're the front runner, well, you do have a big target on your back, and people are all willing to do whatever they can to be the front runner. So even if it means destroying your reputation, there are certain people who just don't care who they hurt in the process of getting what they want.
Right. Well, here's the other side of the coin. How is it, and we all know the answer to this question, so it's a rhetorical question. How is this such a big deal, but yet and still Barack Obama's two gay male affairees, if you will, both conveniently come up murdered execution style, and the third one died of a heart attack or something like that, or pneumonia, whatever the story said. But yet the mainstream media didn't touch that with the 10-foot pole. Oh, by all three of which, by the way, went to the same Trinity United Church that
right.
Barack Obama went to.
Right. Well, you know, if I'm propping you up to be the face of a movement, I have to defend you at all costs. So I can't afford for any accusations to get out to those supporters who put you, well, I'm not going to say they put them in all, those supporters who voted for you. So I'm going to do whatever I can to protect the individual that I propped up to be the face of my movement. That's all of that's in that Alinsky handbook. Deception is a part of this whole campaign.
Right.
So, you know, we can't afford to let the truth come out. If people ever discovered the truth behind the Barack Obama campaign, I guarantee you there would be a whole lot of people committing suicide. all of the money, all of the tears, all of the emotion, all of the arguments defending him, and then this truth comes out, it would be a lot of disappointed people. Not only that, but it would be a lot of disappointed liberals who would probably never vote again, at least in our community.
Right. Exactly. And I'm gonna tell you something, and I'm not afraid to admit this on the air. When he was elected, I cried. And I'm gonna tell you why I cried. Because just looking at the man, and this comes from having spiritual discernment, I called the man for what he was. The man is evil. But yet, you know, me and my cousin sometimes love her to pieces. We disagree. She gets mad at me when I call Barack Obama evil because she's like, well, the Bible says we got to honor our leaders. I told her, I said, point blank, I don't honor and respect someone who's evil. The man is evil. There is no redeeming quality about him. He sold his soul to the devil.
Well,
I hate to put it like that.
Actually, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. It never asks us to honor them. It says pray for your leaders.
Right.
And there's a reason why, and a lot of people don't understand, there's a reason why the Bible says that. We pray for our leaders that they won't do anything stupid. We pray for our leaders that they'll make the right decisions. We pray for our leaders that they won't get deceived or become deceived and fooled like Saul did. We pray for our leaders that they'll remember the people, that remember that they're leading people. We pray for our leaders that they won't send us into situations that will end up doing more harm than good. We pray for our leaders that they won't sell their soul. That's why he asked us to pray for our leaders, that he would give them some wisdom and guidance to do not what we think is right, but right according to the scriptures.
Right.
You know, and so that's why the scriptures ask us to pray for our leaders. That's not just leaders. That's not just leaders of a nation. There's leaders of homes, leaders of schools, leaders of the jobs. Pray for those that lead you, that they won't be deceived, that they won't get caught up and confused and you know, some of the things that are happening right now in our government.
Right.
And so, and listen, I pray for Barack Obama. I pray, my prayer is, Lord, give him some wisdom to do the right things. Lord, touch his heart that he won't do evil. Lord, keep him from getting us in more debt until such time we can get a new leader. I pray for him all the time. Those are some of my prayers.
Well, I must admit, I'm guilty of, I can't even bring myself to pray for him. That's how much I disdain him. And I know that's probably an issue that I need to reconcile with the Lord. But I just growing up, and I'm going to talk from a church and spiritual standpoint of view for a minute. Just kind of letting the listeners know that I grew up seeing evil firsthand, and I'm talking within the body of Christ, seeing, I know that the demonic realm, that the supernatural from the demonic point of view is real. It's not a joke and it's nothing to play with, but people, you know, people yak it up with when it comes to Ouija boards and all this stuff. Oh, it's just a game and all this stuff. You know what? I'll tell this quick story and then I'll have you speak to this. I had my junior year and I went to military school because I wanted to go to military school and see what it was like. And well, it was a bunch of knuckleheads, a lot of skinheads, racist individuals there, but they also worshiped Satan. And so one guy, he was a neo-Nazi skinhead dude. We all were juniors. They all decided to play a practical joke on me, and they got a big, probably about a 16 by 16 inch board, and they carved my name on the board in the middle of a pentagram with all the satanic symbols around it. They showed me the board. Once again, I looked at that board. It scared me so bad, I started crying, and I took that board and I hit it against the floor of my dorm room, which it was tile floor. I hit that board so hard that it broke. It was a clean break, cleaning in two, and that board was about an inch thick when it broke. And I said this to him. These were my words to him. I said, if you ever carve my name in the middle of a satanic board, I will kill you. And I mean, it scared them so bad when their eyes got big like that, that they went out of the room and they left me alone the rest of the night. But my reaction that way was because I knew, even back then, I knew about the dangers of messing around with that power, and it scared me. So speak on that, because there's a tendency for us as Americans and even Christians to just downplay the whole role of spirituality in what's going on in our nation, when the truth of the matter is this is all being driven within the spirit realm.
Yeah, you're right, Thomas. It's all spiritual. When you look at some of the things that this administration is doing, it totally conflicts with Scripture. Not only with a lot of Christian beliefs, but even a lot of Muslim beliefs.
Right.
The abortion issue.
Right.
Support for term abortions and a lot of the other things that we're seeing, the tactics that, I think Adam West said it best. You know, it's amazing how comfortable politicians are with lies.
Right.
And when I heard Alan West say that, he was just dead on point. Lying is just a part of their nature now. That they don't even flinch when they tell a lie. And
right.
They have become so comfortable with lying. And, you know, the scripture tells us that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire.
That's true.
When you're so comfortable with lying, you have a serious issue. That means you're deceitful. You have a deceitful heart. And you have no place in your heart for Christ. You have no place in your heart for anything moral. You're deceitful. And so we're seeing a lot of deception being played out, both in this administration and the media.
Right. And before we move on to another subject, because I want you to talk to people about the Remnant Voice, and because I love the website. I love the interviews you have on there and stuff like that. So I want people to go and check it out. But my last question to you is this, because I really believe this, despite what others say. I don't think it's too late for this nation. I don't think God has written the United States off, but there are a lot of Christians that have that belief. And am I just chasing a pipe dream to believe that there is still hope for this nation?
Yeah, there's still hope for America, just like there's still hope for Israel. Even in biblical times, there's always hope. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the Lord will let certain things happen just to see who's on his side.
Right.
I mean, see this played out with Moses and the people. And we are in a time where we have to choose sides. You can't sit on the sidelines anymore. We have to choose this day whom we're going to serve. You can't stick our hands in the sand anymore.
Right.
We are in critical times. And this next year is going to tell the story. We have to stop talking about it. And we really love this country. And we really want to keep this country the way the founders intended it to be. If we really, really want this country to be a nation that reverence God, this next year, we have to get out the side. We have to get involved. We have
right.
to get active. I truly believe that, you know, that the Lord would let things happen just to see who's on his side. And just to let others know who's on his side. One of the reasons why I started the Remnant Voice was because I wanted to know where all the black conservatives were. I wanted to know where they were. There are a lot of closet conservatives out there. There are a lot of closet black conservatives out there. And what I wanted to do was to show them that there are a lot of black conservatives in this country. And so the Remnant Voice is designed to promote black conservative personalities, bloggers, columns, writers to the larger community. That was the purpose. Sometimes when people see individuals coming together, then they feel safe. And if closet black conservatives saw all these conservatives in one place, conservatives that look like them, then maybe they wouldn't be so afraid. And so
right.
that's one of the purposes of the Remnant Voice.
Right. So who have been some of the people that have written? I know you're one of the bloggers, obviously. So who else have you had write for the blog?
We've had Scott Parker. We've had some of the people you don't know. We had what's his name? I'm trying to remember the young man's name. Just wrote an article for us.
Alfonso Rachel? Him?
No, bear with him. I'm pulling him up real quick. We have individuals like, what's his name here? Individuals like Jerome Hudson, individuals like, what's the young lady's name? Shelby
Emmett?
Yes, Shelby Emmett. She's one of our writers.
She's my Facebook friend.
Yeah, and a host of other folks who have contributed some articles to the Remnant Voice. And then a lot of them are news articles concerning folks like Alan West and Tim Scott and, of course, Herman Cain, Thomas Sowell, Walter E. Williams, Condoleezza Rice, and there's some others, Apostle Cleaver, names like that.
Aren't you in a movie coming up pretty soon?
Me? No. If I am, I don't know anything about it.
You wasn't a part of the Runaway Slave movie?
No. I do know the pastor who was putting that...
Pastor C.L. Bryant?
Right, putting that movie together. And they're toward the end of it, so we should be seeing publication before the next election, from my understanding.
Actually, Pastor Bryant, I've interviewed him on the show twice. He's become quickly like a father figure to me. And it's really, I am really blessed to, you know, to actually have met you. And I'll tell you why. Because one thing that I'm working on is called the Black Conservative Radio Network. And essentially what it is, it's going to be like what we do here, except it's going to be a full-fledged alternative media outlet for Black conservatives and all conservatives, mind you. But it's going to be a media outlet for conservatives, period, whether Black, white, red, yellow, indigo, or violet, to flock to and get conservative views from a perspective where we don't worry about having to be politically correct. Because that's one thing about us as conservatives, we tell you like it is, and if you don't like it, that's just too bad, you know. And so Pastor is actually on the board of directors for that. And you know, it's like this, I really can't express it enough in words, just seeing the Remnant Voice and that you started it and things like that. It's an inspiration to me to know that what I'm trying to do and starting with absolutely nothing, because literally I'm starting this company is going to be started with nothing. I am poor than dirt at this moment, but I believe that through Christ all things are possible. And
right.
And I know that's true. I mean, true story. I prayed one time, and because I was hungry, and all I said was, "Lord, I'm hungry." And I kid you not, I reached into my pocket and pulled out $5. That money was not in my pocket before I prayed. And people might think I'm loopy, but that's real.
All
right. So I'm just saying, God. Is he is so faithful and true when we just stick to our guns. And so, man, Pastor Fred, I want what I really want you to talk about now is your ministry, because my show, Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed, We do not separate faith from politics. I'll tell you real quick what my two models are. My first model is this: the visible conservative, where we're not politically correct, we're just correct politically, and we always come down on the right side of the issues. That's the first model. The second model is this: politics does not define my faith in Jesus Christ. My faith in Jesus Christ defines my politics. Therefore, I talk about faith in politics intermingling, because you can't have politics without a faith in Jesus Christ, and that's just the truth of the matter. So, having said that, talk a little bit about your ministry and what you guys do.
Our ministry, simplechurchministry.org is the web address, simplechurchministry.org. And some people, when they hear that word simple church, if they're familiar with that terminology, they automatically know what it is that I'm talking about. But our ministry is similar to the ministry of the first century apostles, as well as Christ. We don't look to get people to come to us. we do exactly what the scripture said. We actually go to them. And so we minister outside of the four walls. We don't believe in, just as Christ, just as the early apostles, and the church being a building. The Bible tells us that God does not dwell in temples made of hands. He tells us that we are the church.
Right.
Now, we're under a new covenant. We are the church. And so where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And so while we minister wherever the people are, that can be in a home, that can be at the park, that can be in the coffee shop, that can be at work, we don't need the band, the choir, we don't need the entertainment.
Right.
The entertainment is not the center of our worship. Christ is the center of our worship. And so that's what our ministry is all about. We're also about uncovering the misconceptions about church itself.
Right.
A lot of the things we do in church is not even in the Bible, but a lot of things we have borrowed from, you know, different sects along the way throughout history, different pagan religions throughout history. A lot of the issues that we have in the church today, all the scandals that you see,
right?
That's because Christ is no longer the center of our worship anymore.
Amen.
Our buildings have become our idols, our cars, our homes. All this prosperity, you know, that's not, God is not concerned about all that. All he's concerned about is your relationship with him, your soul. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
That's right.
Money means nothing to God. What he's concerned about is your relationship with him, whether or not you have a place in your heart for him, whether or not you're doing all in which he's called you to do. As you live out your life, all those things. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, talk about me. He didn't say that. But he said, keep my commandments. That means you have to do something. That's an action right there. So if you love him, don't worship him with your mouth. Show him that you love him by what you do, according to his word. So that's what Simple Church Ministry is about. SimpleChurchMinistry.org is the website again. And we welcome people to go there, get more information. We have, videos that you can watch to see what we're all about. And you'll see that this is a nationwide thing. It's not just us. It's a nationwide thing. And Simple Church Ministry, Organic Church, House Church, is growing. By leaps and bounds. It's going so fast now that even ABC, NBC, and USA Today did stories on it. So you can find that in the media section on our website.
Right. And, you know, for me, the whole biggest thing, that the issue that I had with the church was that it's like I said earlier, I observe a lot of things, and when I observe the treatment of other Christians, and knowing the word of God is built on the foundation of the love of Jesus Christ, and I see other believers not loving other believers, not only with their words, but in deeds and in truth, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. They're preaching the love of God, but where's the fruit with that? The word of God says that you will know them by their fruit. Love, peace, joy, meekness, humbleness, self-control, so on and so forth. That's Galatians 5:22 for those that want to, you know, check that out. But the foundation of the body of Christ is built on the love of Jesus. And for me, honestly, I was so brutalized in experiences growing up that when I would tell someone that I love them, or if I used to remember trying to say I love you to foster parents or something like that, and I would get choked up because it was literally like a physical reaction. One time, I told my real mom I loved her, and when I said that, I had a painful reaction to using those words because of the fact that I had never known the true, unconditional, unadulterated love of God until I started studying the word for myself. And God had to do things differently than me, than what had been taught in traditional churches. And so I can speak to what you're saying, that it is the truth, because God had to do things for me differently because of the fact that my life was a brutal mess. And so, you know, that,
well,
you know go ahead, sorry.
That's the type of God we serve. And
right.
That's what he has the ability to come in and pick us up, turn us around, and set us on a new path. So he knows how to do it.
Yes, he does. So what you got coming up? You got any speaking engagements with Tea Party or anything coming up?
No speaking engagements coming up. I was just recently at the Tea Party rally here in Houston a couple of weeks ago. Herman Cain came to a couple of weeks ago here in Houston. So, but we just gearing up, man, and preparing for this 2012 election. So,
yeah, it's going to be a bloody battle. I'm getting ready. Like I said, I'm planning because I'm hoping and I'm believing God that I'm going to be on Tea Party circuit within next year or so. Well, actually sooner than that, because I have a message that is one that I believe that's going to unify people of all persuasion. Not only am I passionate, I'm brutally honest, and I keep it real. And that's what we as conservatives, that's what we need to hear. We don't need to constantly hear about the doom and gloom and the potential for what might happen. We need to hear, okay, so if this is what can potentially happen, this is what we have to do to stop it. You know?
Right.
Because, I mean, I get frustrated sometimes with conservatives because I hear so much, well, we got to prepare bunkers and lots of water and food and all that stuff. And that's fine to prepare, but while you're preparing, don't be sitting back and just be so busy preparing that you steady let them continue to kick your butt. Would you agree with that or disagree?
Well, I would say that, you know, it comes a time where you have to stand up and fight back.
Exactly.
You can't just sit back and just allow these particular groups just to walk all over you.
Exactly.
It's just like a bully. As long as the bully knows that he can push you around, as long as you allow the bully to push you around, he'll keep doing it.
Exactly. And we are that little kid in the schoolyard that's been pushed around for too long. But you put us all together as one, and we suddenly become a very big, mean, and angry giant. And that's what's happening within the conservative movement. And it's not a coincidence that it's happening as the voice of black conservatives start coming out. And the truth of the matter is, we got to stop being afraid of our own community. What can they do to us? Because I'm like this. You know, they ostracize me enough. I have no problem turning my back on and walking away. I will find the people who want to know the truth. Go ahead.
You know, the old saying is safety in numbers.
Right.
And so, once again, like I said, that's another reason why the Remnant Voice was created. You get a group of conservatives in one place thinking the same, speaking the same. And other folks who are in the closet seeing this, and you know, they see, okay, well, you know, there's a group of people. I didn't know there were so many people. Well, let me join with this group of people, and I'll be okay. But as I said, it's safety in numbers. So,
right.
But Thomas, I certainly appreciate the opportunity.
Not a problem.
Radio show this evening, and great job, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
I'm looking for you to accomplish all your dreams.
Amen. I appreciate the words of encouragement. And how does one submit a blog to you if they wanted to submit a blog to you?
They can go to our website and click on the contact link, and they can submit it via the email address.
Okay.
We do have some criteria. We don't publish the criteria, but you know, I'll take a look at it, and then we'll get back with them, depending on what it is.
All right. God bless you, Pastor, for coming to the show, and I'm definitely going to be reading the blogs. In fact, I'm putting it in my favorite. So.
Great. Well, God bless you, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right. You have a good night.
You too now. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Pastor Fred L. Anderson of The Remnant Voice here on Blog Talk Radio Christians Unleashed. And I want to thank everybody for coming to the show. As you know, my first hour was an angry-filled rant. and I unloaded on Gloria Allred, liberals in general. I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't like liberals anymore. If you're liberal, I can't stand you. I despise the ground you walk on. And I'm just going to keep it real. I won't cuss you out. I won't do anything crazy like that. But you don't have my respect any longer. You know, I'm supporting conservative values, conservative views, and I'm leaving it at that. I don't care what anybody else says, what anybody else chooses to do. Because I walk to the beat of my own drum. I'm not a rat being led around by the Pied Pipers of the black community, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Congressional Black Caucus, NAACP. You're not going to lead me off the cliff. Point blank, you're not going to lead me off the cliff. Oh, man. The show, I thank, like I said, I thank everybody for coming. And Michael, my two guests, 23008 and 26732, Michael, Noreen, you guys be blessed. And I am signing off with my song. You have been listening to The Visible Conservative, Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk.
of my life. Blinded by the money, the women, and the fame. But I'm saved now, and I'm breaking off those chains. We breaking off those chains. And we're living a life for God. In my life and how I used to live. Not the mind of a man, but the mind of a kid. Doing much dirt to the people I love. My love was for the cream, the 40-ounce drink. But I grew tired of living this life. Full of much hatred, envy, and strife. But what am I to do? My brothers in need. Cause I got a wife and my kids to feed. Then I heard a voice while drinking a beer. And this voice made things real clear. Give me your love and I'll give you the world. Keys of the kingdom for your boys and your girls. I used to be blinded by the money and the fame. But I'm saved now and I'm breaking off those chains. We breaking off those chains. And we're living a life for God. We breaking off those chains. And we're living a life for God. We breaking off those chains. And we're living a life for God. We breaking off those chains. And we're living a life for God.
Once again, you have been listening to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed. So, talk to you later. Well, on Wednesday, I am interviewing Mr. Dominique Huff. And that's going to be another good interview. So make sure you all tune in to the next episode of Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed on Blog Talk Radio.